Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for March 23rd. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. And, geez, I would say joining us later on the podcast will be MPB tracker Patrick Newman and baseball hopponess site guru Claudio Rodriguez.
They will be joining us.
And they will be joining us, but this will be the second time. So we had some technical difficulties, and we're having to redo some portions of the show, which will be spliced together. And I'm sure you'll be patient with us and listen to the end. But we're going to do our Pacific League preview. Before that, Jim and I are going to discuss the preseason and an event, a charity event. So let's start swinging.
Ring the bases!
Hiroki Kuroda of the Carp had another strong outing a week ago on Sunday. He went 7.1 innings actually in total before he actually allowed a run, his first run of the preseason, and that was on Sunday in a 9-2 win over the Buffaloes. And he allowed his hits to the following guys: Takahiro Okada, Tomotaka Sakaguchi, Keiichi Hirano, Yoshio Itoi, and Tony Blanco.
There's a question in there somewhere?
Not really. It was a double crown winner. Homer and batting champ in the same year. Another batting champ. A hits leader. That's not a bad group to allow hits to.
So I have to ask the listeners, which of these doesn't belong? which guy in there is not like, which of these is not like the other? Okay, and you Tomotaka Sakaguchi fans, sit down. Because your guy's it. I'm a big fan of his, and I like him. He's a great guy. But, yeah.
He kind of doesn't belong in this
group. This stage of his career, giving up a hit to him is not a badge of honor. But Kuroda's looked good, and he's still drawing rave reviews for the kind of action he's getting with his NPB ball on his two-seamer and his cutter. You know, he's got, you know, it's really eerie because that's what he should be losing. He should be losing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw one of the batters who was in that game, not I would think it was a Yakult Swallows batter from his first game.
Uh-huh.
Who said, he sat there and he kind of recognized the pitch was going to be inside, and he moved out of the way, and it just broke back over the plate for a strike, right. And he knew it was a strike, and he's like, I'd never seen like anything like that before, and I'm like, come on, man, you just haven't seen it lately.
Perhaps, yeah, it's not quite as much, and not quite as, I think he's got some, he hasn't been wasting his time in the States, but to do that with an NPB ball is really special, so it's going to be fun to watch. And all the Carp pitchers are all talking about it, so could be fun.
Okay.
Although Osera's been trying to manipulate, you know, try to emulate him a little bit, and he'd worked on a two-seamer a little bit last year. He hasn't got the hang of it. He threw it a couple times the other day after he pitched against Europe, and it didn't work. So
everybody duck.
Yeah, exactly, kind of thing. So that's something we'll look forward to next year.
Okay. And then Daisuke Matsuzaka of the Hawks had a bad first inning the other day when he pitched, but then he bounced back by retiring the next 13 batters. He went perfect into the sixth inning, and the only runner he allowed came on an error, and then he got the next batter. So he put in a quality start at the end of the day. It was a 3-2 loss to the Marines, but he allowed four hits and three runs in the first inning, and then ends up with a quality start. And then he was diagnosed with influenza B the other day, and it looks like he's not going to be around for opening day and sometime afterward. And the saga is just beginning for this guy.
The saga continues.
Well, I don't know. We were thinking he's going to come home. He's going to be a star. Or at least I was thinking he's going to be a star. He's going to pitch okay. He's not going to be great, but he's going to be serviceable. He's going to be adequate.
Instead,
and it's just not seeming to go that way for him right now.
It's like the same stop again, start again, one step forward, one step back we've seen since he came back from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I don't know that he's making any progress, though. Saying I don't even see the step forward sometimes. I guess this was, in a sense, he only gave up the three runs, but he got the loss, and his team didn't win the game, obviously, and that's the important thing, is to try to get those wins, even in the preseason, even though the games are hard to win and they don't matter.
fake.
They're fake.
What other pejoratives have you used for preseason baseball that I'm forgetting about? But John's got a share of them. So to hear him say, try to get the win, I hear you. I'm just making fun at your expense.
No problem. I mean, it is important. And we talked about the fact that the Giants do that, that they put a priority on winning games, whether it's the preseason, whether it's a practice game or anything. They play to win.
It's important.
And I agree.
I think that's really important. I think there's too much talk about the minor leaguers are there to develop skills. Yeah, they're there to develop skills that will win games.
Mm-hmm.
And developing those skills in the process of winning games is what it's all about.
Right.
Regardless of what level you're at. So right. that bit, the game don't matter. Well, you know, flush that.
Yeah, flush that. I like that. Okay, and then Oryx ace Chihiro Kaneko, we found out, is not actually going to be the ace. He's not going to be in the ace slot, pitching slot, probably.
Not for the time. Not at the start of the season, anyway.
Not at the start of the season. And that's because, I didn't read any stories. I just saw a tweet on Twitter that he wasn't going to be around for opening day. But I'm assuming, since we really haven't seen much of him and we really haven't heard much about his bullpen sessions, that he's just not able to work fully he's not able to complete the full routine with the rest of the team and the rest of the pitchers, and he's just not ready.
Yeah, it was kind of weird when, you know, he had elbow surgery in November, about 2 weeks after the, maybe 10 days or a week after the major leaguers left. And to clean out some detached tissue in his elbow.
Yeah.
And he's had similar procedure before. And, you know, he was looking at something that was going to be basically 3 to 4 months. And it's on the long side of that this time. And for some reason in camp, Hiroshi Moriwaki, who's is going to be really tested this year, got his first test, which was, who's going to be my starting pitcher? And he raised his hand and said, Kaneko, of course. And then, but Kaneko hasn't pitched. And yesterday he said, well, it ain't him.
Nice answer.
So, but that's, you know, again, that's irrelevant. It's not a big deal. It's only a big deal if you're a sports editor and, you know,
to make it a big deal.
Yeah. And for the first 3 months of the year, or the first 2.5 months of the year, opening day is essentially the season boils down to opening day, and then the next day you've forgotten that you've just said that opening day is everything. Because yeah. Now there's 143 games, 142 games left to play, and they have to account for something.
Right. All right. So now when we taped the show the first time, we talked about the fact that Derek Jeter and Hideki Matsui today on Saturday, it's Saturday night now, and yep. that they were having a charity event for the 311 Great Eastern Earthquake that occurred in 2011 in Japan. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the fact that Jeter was all over the TV on Thursday while he was down in Osaka watching sumo.
Right.
And it was going to be a fun time with these players, and then you were going to go off to that. And so now you're back.
I'm back. I saw it. It was a long day. And boy, when that press conference, the final – well, first of all, Jeter got to say – thank you for having me to Matsui before he and Matsui threw out the first pitch at before the Fighters Giants game at Tokyo Dome at 1:30.
Right, that was a day game, right?
He got to say that at the charity auction about an hour later, and then he got to say that when he returned to begin the ceremony for the baseball clinic. And then he got to say it again before the start of the charity game, and then before the start of the hitting competition, and he also got to say it at the press conference, kind of, sort of. So
it sounds like he remembered his lines.
It was like Thanksgiving, and Derek Jeter was thankful.
He remembered his lines.
He did indeed. He was gracious. But you know, and I don't have mixed feelings about Derek Jeter. The people in New York think the world of him. You know, they're fans. That's their right. I don't have to. I'm offended if they think I should because he's from New York. And that's another story. But he was gracious, and he filled, you know, he played his role very well, and Matsui played his role, and it was a disorganized event. It was like I don't want to use pejoratives, but there was a lot of things going on, and the timing was terrible, and it took much longer than it needed to take, and there was a lot of standing around waiting for things to happen, and there was so much. It was such a busy schedule,
mm-hmm.
but things took a long time. It was a lot like watching a Japanese game in the sense, except it wasn't routine. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to wait for everything, you know, and it's like, this should be happening. Something should be happening now, and it's not. But a Japanese baseball game, of course, is routine and predictable, and this was not predictable. It was just the waiting part.
Well, maybe it's because we had two guys who are used to actually having people do all that stuff for them, and the guys, and maybe the people they brought in to do those things weren't good at it or didn't know, or it was their first time or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was a first event, you know, and a lot of things had to be brought together, and I'll tell you, the support, the sponsorship, And the kind of support they got, they were able to arrange, or their people were able to arrange, was amazing.
Well, that's good.
And so it was really, it was an impressive effort. And I talked to they didn't make a big deal about the Giants players taking part in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So they did about the fighters. They introduced three of the fighters, foreign players, as well as Shohei Ohtani. And then from out of nowhere, all the the whole Giants roster played in that game was out on the field playing catch with the kids.
Excellent. Yeah, great.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
And Hideki Kuriyama, the fighter's manager, had some very good words to say for the foreign guys. And I talked to Brandon Laird, and he had some things to say after the game and before the charity event that were quite nice. And then I talked to Michael Crotta after the game, after the baseball, all the charity event. And he said it was a thrill for him. And he said, they both said the same thing about Derek Jeter, great teammate, great guy, his reputation precedes him, and it is what it is. And so that's what they said. And it was a good event. They were all excited. Everybody was excited to be with the kids on the field. And Kuriyama said something that was, I think, quite poignant. He said, look, this is where, you know, we're on the field. Normally, it's all about winning and losing.
Mm-hmm.
And to be on the field with guys you play with, you know, the other fighters, players, where it's not manager and player, but we're all interacting with kids on a ball field as baseball people, you know, on the place where our dreams of playing baseball began, was refreshing, rejuvenating, and quite special. And I mentioned that to the guys. They said, yeah, that absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Sounds like a good time. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this question comes from our buddy Glenn in Tokyo, and I remember he sent us a question last year. Thanks a lot, Glenn. He says, quick question for both of you. Do you have any information on how Lasting's millage ended up back with the Swallows? I thought he had burned that bridge last year and seemed to remember him leaving under a cloud as he wanted his injury looked at in the United States. I think he helps the Swallows in many ways if he's healthy, but just wondered. So I remember he signed a 3-year deal in the offseason in 2012, and that was that makes this year the final year of that contract. And Coco Ballantyne also did the same length deal in that time. And Tony Barnett inked a 2-year deal at that time. So, and this was a rare thing that we had seen a team sign these import players to multi-year contracts, especially all at once like that. It was a really rare thing to see.
It was, and it was interesting, and it really paid off for them I can't say it paid off in pennants. Millage had a really good first season, and what they said was he was, you know, they said, let's keep you around for a while. Now, as I've said before, the Swallows are one of these teams, and the other one are the Hiroshima Carp, who've done a great deal of, they've had great success in bringing over cost-effective foreign players,
mm-hmm.
and getting great mileage out of these guys
until
their original 2-year contract runs out. And they say, you know, I'd rather go play for the Giants if you're a Swallows player, or if you're a Carp player, I'd rather go play for the Tigers, or now the Oryx Buffaloes. So that's the way that has gone. And so the Swallows said, look, let's, you know, I thought it was great. People questioned it, but I thought, you know, they have a really good track record. They trusted their own judgment, and I think they were spot on. Now, with Millage, it was a case of he got hurt. He missed about a third of his second season, and he missed about two-thirds of his third season.
Right.
So it hasn't worked out well. So he didn't – I don't know if he burned bridges, but I think there's – you know, the thing with Lasting's Millage is there's always that backstory going on about – difficulties he's had in the past.
Yeah, and the States, not so much
in the States, not in Japan. But he's a very so he's very direct, and he says what he thinks, and so people will take him the wrong way. And I don't think he ever regrets that. It's the way he's upfront and direct, and if people don't like it, he doesn't seem terribly concerned.
Right.
But I think that does tend to lead to misunderstandings. And when he left last year, there were people saying, well, he should be here. I mean, that's what I heard.
Right.
But again, the Swallows, I didn't hear it from the team. I didn't hear them say he should be here. I think some of the players thought he ought to be there, maybe when he was rehabbing or something. I don't know.
Right.
Well, I don't know the story.
I'm sure they factor in the possibility of injuries, and Lasting's didn't really have a history of getting hurt, so this was not the most likely outcome. But it happens, and it's my understanding that a lot of American players in particular like to go back home and get checked out, so I'm not sure that that's a big factor in the whole thing. Yeah.
I think there was that, and the fact that times have changed. It used to be a big deal. That going back to the States was like saying Japan's not good enough for you.
Right.
It was a slap in the face. It's not anymore. The Swallows, obviously, in that respect of dealing with foreign players, are a very mature organization. And give them credit for that. So right now, Lasting's Millage is back. He's swinging well. Mm-hmm. He's not throwing well because he had a procedure on his shoulder, and his shoulder is not strong. It's not, it concerns me that if he might have to throw and damage it.
Yeah. Well, I just saw him move, and I wasn't convinced that he was 100% healthy, below the waist as well. So I'm just not sure, but we can ask him when we see him. That's for sure.
I worry, but I wasn't watching him throw from the outfield. So I can't see. He was DHing, he was DHing. He was in the outfield, but I didn't see him make a throw. But I wonder if he's got if they've part of the surgery was grafting Alex Ramirez's arm onto his.
Oh no!
Watch people go from first to third from with impunity. The left field. Okay, let's off to the races, boys.
Hey, you stop there.
Hashtag high heat.
All right. All right, well, thanks a lot for the question, Glenn. Now, for our Pacific League prediction show, which joining us sort of in spirit now, they did join us earlier today, and I've taped their comments, and I will be splicing them in. So, Patrick, apologies again. Claudio, apologies, but we thank you for taking the time out the second time to talk to us. So Patrick is up in the Bay Area. Claudio is in Toronto, so it was hard to put everything together, but we were able to do it for a short time and then again. So anyway, no ceremonial first pitch or anything like that. We've got the new managers and everything going. How many of these new managers are going to make the playoffs? That's what we're going to look at right here. And first up is Jim Allen with Kimiyasu Kudo and the Hawks.
Well, never managed before Kimiyasu Kudo, but that doesn't seem to hurt guys in Japan. I, of course, people have been talking about first-time managers. He's the first-time manager without a background. The last two guys who've done that have gone to the Japan Series their first time out of the shoot, and those were Hideki Kuriyama, who was an analyst, and the guy before him who was an analyst was Hiromitsu Ochiai. Radically different managers, but You know, I think it's just easier to manage in Japan than it is in the majors.
Right. Okay. So
I'm going to say it's not going to be a hindrance. And then, okay. So the Hawks rotation looks a lot like Tadashi Setsu, the ace, Kenji Otonari, the lefty, Jason Standridge, very reliable, Kenichi Nakata, pretty reliable right hand, another reliable right hander, Daisuke Matsuzaka, whom we spoke of, Shota Takeda, who I like a lot, it's got great stuff, inconsistent, but great stuff. Particularly the breaking balls and stuff. Rick Vanderhoek, we don't know a lot about, coming over from Korea, ERA leader, strikeout leader, big guy, but has a bad knee right now. The other people I know that Patrick likes is Kazuyuki Hoashi, a left-hander, kind of a three-sidearm lefty, and who's a former teammate. He's a former teammate of Matsuzaka's.
Right.
Okay, so lines, the big additions are, well, I guess Matsuzaka and Vandenhoek, those two. But one of the things the Hawks have is that not only were they good at the top level, they were good at on the farm team last year. I think they had a 630 winning percentage on the farm team last year. Farm team could probably beat, could hold their own. You could win a few games out of 10, you know, against most of the teams in NPB. They got some guys who can really hit. Pitching's and usually they've got pitchers on the farm team too who don't have any place to pitch because they're starting pitchers and the starting rotation's full. So a couple of guys I want to mention first is Kentaro Inamoto, maybe the best hitter in it. He's a quality hitter. He may be the best minor league hitter in Japan. He's a first baseman. Lido Shen, who's had a lot of time with the first team as a role player, he's a second baseman. Taisei Makihara is a 22-year-old infielder who was the Western League batting champion. And then we got another guy who is very good, who's a catcher, but probably a DH, Masayoshi Tsukada. All those guys could come up and play if they're needed. You know, okay, big losses, nobody really, strength, the depth is the big strength. And I think the other thing they have going for them is that they're so much better than their numbers look. The Hawks have underperformed seriously underperformed. Nothing they've done on the field has translated into wins. Now, 2 years ago, a large part of that was injuries and tired arms in the bullpen. Last year, still some weird stuff with injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, weird stuff, as Mr. Toriyama talked about a few weeks ago from the Hawks. You know, why is a guy with a nearly broken ankle, why are they talking? Why is he taking BP?
Yeah.
What's he going to do in a game? He can't run. Okay, so stuff like that. Now, in comes Kudo, who's a fitness guy and, an injury prevention guy. You know, what he's done is to get everybody talking and on the same page. So that kind of thing won't repeat itself. I think the Hawks won't burn out towards the end of the year. They won't have as many injury troubles. And we're going to see, unfortunately, that's unfortunate for the guys on the farm team who are going, please, somebody get hurt so I can play.
Right, yeah. Well, I just think, complacency is going to be what they have to fight more than even their opponents. I think they have so much talent, like you said, and it's
they only won. They didn't win but you know, why complacency? They didn't win the league by even a half a game last year.
And that's what they're going to have to fight this year. But perhaps
why complacent over winning the league by less than half a game?
I don't know. You talked about it. They just had this long losing streak at the end of the season last year, and it was the last week, and that's how the Buffaloes ended up getting more victories than they did. But in the interest of time, just to move on, I just think that that's going to be the issue this year because I don't really see any weaknesses. I talked about it already. Other than the bullpen, maybe. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they got starting pitching to spare. I think they have got 10 guys. They could give each team in NPB a pitcher who would
still beat them. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If the Hawks, if there was a really active trade market in Japan, the Hawks would be even tougher.
Yeah. Now joining us, and he'll be the first who's going to join us, is going to be Claudio Rodriguez. He's the site creator of Baseball Japonés, and he lives in Toronto. And thank you very much for making extra time to join us on the show. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me. Okay. Well, I mean, I agree with what Jim had mentioned before in regards to how solid the team looks in their different departments, have good pitching. I don't think that their rotation is the best, but all the guys in the rotations are reliable guys. They can put some innings, they can win some games. So as they're, you know, they don't have their super ace, but they have good pitchers that can do the work. They have tremendous offense. Five of the everyday players last year got into the top 10 in batting last season. That was amazing. So they have, you know, and even in Nigun and the second team, they have the Cuban Barbaro Cañizares, who's a tremendous hitter, but you know, I don't see him getting any playing time
Wrong
this
team.
Season.
He's got to find a new team.
No spot for him in the team. Too many foreigners there. So my prediction is another year of mostly second team for him. But I see the Hawks winning the league. I see them as the strongest team and. You know, they're solid in every department, so they should repeat the title.
Yeah, very, very solid. But I think what they're missing and wasn't mentioned before in the key losses was their manager, Koji Akiyama. And, yeah, he was probably hard on his pitchers and hard on his players, but he won. And I like the way he strategized in games, his tactics. He was fearless in some respects. But I think, you know, if you have to point to a weakness, and I'm not saying it's weak, I'm just saying that it's not maybe as strong as we might think, and that might be the bullpen. And I'll only admit that there are guys who are accepting but not really necessarily happy with their roles that they're going to play. You know, I think the rookie manager, he's got zero experience, and that is a weakness. And I think at some point it's going to come up and bite them. And I think the first time we talked about this, you mentioned that there's been a smooth transition with Kudo, but I don't think the curtain has been lifted yet. I think we've been just watching rehearsals, and I think when the show starts, when the lights go on, I think it's going to be different. And he's the kind of guy who can grate on people. I think it's, you know, he's trying to perfect too much, and he can become an in-house distraction. So I don't think it's all cut and dry in terms of what he's going to do, but I also have them finishing first. Okay, so Patrick, on the Hawks.
Okay, well, the Hawks are obviously the consensus favorite for the Pacific League, the champion, and I'm not going to break from the consensus. I have them as number one as well. You know, I like the rotation. I like the bullpen. I like the lineup. Not much more to say than that, I guess.
No, but, I mean, you talk about all the guys they brought in. Are you worried or concerned that they're going to have there's not going to be enough playing time for everybody, including the pitchers, because they have so many. They're so deep in the pitching staff, from relievers to starters. There's so many guys who are going to be kicking around doing nothing.
Well, possibly. With the rotation, you really have kind of two sure things with Setsu and Standridge.
Setsu? I don't like what I've seen from him actually since about the middle of last season, but
yeah, he had a bad year last year, but he's in terms of the quality of his stuff, he's not really, I would say he's worse than Otonari, but Otonari is really hit or miss in terms of his health. So, you know, I think, 150 innings is not too out of the reach for him. Matsuzaka, I'd be surprised if he stays healthy the whole year. And then you have a collection of other guys that you don't know what you're going to get from, whether it's Hoashi or Terahara or Higashihama. Who else is there?
Hitoki Yamada, the little lefty.
Yamada, yeah.
Shota Takeda.
No, yeah, Takeda.
They've got pitching
actually,
for days.
Actually, Takeda is probably pretty good. He's probably the number four guy there. And then one guy that I've always kind of been – one kind of enigma that they've always had is Oba. Remember,
yeah,
he had
sure.
like two good games,
Oba,
really,
like a no hitter for a long time into a game at Chiba Stadium. Yeah,
yeah, like long his ago. First game he struck out 15 guys, and his second he struck out 17 or something, and then that's been it.
And then he struck out.
Yeah, he's since then continuously. Yeah, but if he could ever, you know, he's an intriguing talent if he could ever get it together. So. I think, you know, that's about eight or nine guys with about four or five good ligaments. So so we'll see how many of them get through the season.
Okay. So next up is Claudio and the Lions.
Well, for the Lions, I have for their rotation Takayuki Kishi, Kazuhisa Makita, Ryoma Nogami, and for $1 million a year, I'm betting they're going to stick Wade LeBlanc, the new foreigner, in there. Mm-hmm. There's also the a young Taiwanese guy, Chun Lin Kuo, and there's the veteran, I always mess up his name, Nishiguchi.
Nishiguchi, yeah.
Nishiguchi, yeah. So I don't know. Well, they have other options there, so to be who's the other starters are going to be, but that seems to be the rotation. For the additions, they have mostly foreigners, Wade LeBlanc, Anthony Serratelli, Dominican Smerling Vasquez, Miguel Mejia, who was born in Brooklyn, New York, but he's from Puerto Rican descent, mm-hmm. The Taiwanese Chun Lin Kuo, and first round draft pick Kona Takahashi.
Yeah.
For the subtractions, they basically flushed down the toilet every single foreigner they had last year except Ernesto Mejia. So that meant Michael Bowden, Greg Reynolds, Randy Williams, Cody yeah. Ransom, and Dominican Abner Abreu, which I thought this deserved a little bit more deserved another shot. He was a young guy. He just played like seven games only, but one of them was a really big game. He got like three hits and two RBIs or something like that.
Right.
And being him so young, I think they could have kept him at least in the second team and maybe developed him for the future. But well, anyway, so he was let go.
Yeah, something I always talk about Japanese teams not doing with the foreign players that they could do.
Yes, exactly. Now, for their strength, I like their offensive power. That duo with Okawari-kun, Takeya Nakamura, and Ernesto Mejia, I think they can good. Maybe they won't repeat what they did last year. I don't think they're going to win the title again, the home run title.
Yeah, finish 1-2.
But they can definitely put some home runs and RBIs together. They can help the team in that way. They have other good offensive players. Hideto Samura is one of them. Takumi Kuriyama and Shogo Akiyama. I think they can bring up some offense there. And I'm not that I'm a fan, but I think Norio Tanabe, the manager, has done a decent job so far. So I think he can help the team move forward. In terms of weaknesses, they have no pitching. Like Kishi is a good pitcher, but that's the only thing they have. They have nothing. Like Makita is very inconsistent.
No pitching. They're going to be
no pitching. Makita's is the kind of guy that because it's a submarine throw that he has. Game he looks very dominant, the other game he looks horrible, and then one game he's good and one game he's bad. So it's like a 500 pitcher. It's not consistent, although he can put some innings. Like I would see him as a perfect fifth starter or something, like that guy that wouldn't miss a spot in the rotation and can put some innings together, and it won't give you all the wins, but it will give you some. But in this case, he's a second starter, and like if that's your second starter, after that, I don't really want to take a look at what you have, because I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be good. And well, we mentioned that Yusei Kikuchi, the not rookie anymore, but the young pitcher, is not totally injured, but he's not pitching well. So he's somewhere in Nigun working on something, We'll see him at some point in the season. But either way. Because of the offensive power they have, I'm predicting they're going to finish in fourth place. They're going to do a little better than last year. But I don't see them getting to the postseason.
Okay. So, Patrick?
Yeah, so I have the Lions finishing third this year. It may be a little bit of an aggressive ranking. I like the lineup. I think that if Okawari-kun is healthy and Mejia puts up the same kind of year he did last year, those guys are probably going to run away with the home run title. Look for a bounce back year from Hideto Asamura. I don't know if Shogo Akiyama was discussed. He's another guy I really like, who had kind of a down season last year. Mm-hmm. After it looked like 2 years ago, he had a good breakout. So the offense is pretty good. You know, the rotation has some depth questions.
Questions?
Yeah. Well,
maybe they're the depth of the hole that they're in.
Well.
Or the well.
But the rest of the Pacific League, even SoftBank has questions about where those starts going to come from. They just have more options. So, you know, really, you know, I think we've all said, you know, you have Kishi and Makita and then some question marks. It'll be interesting to see if Yusei Kikuchi gives him anything. You know, he looked like he was in the midst of a breakout year 2 years ago, and then he got hurt. And last year he was okay. But he hasn't really fulfilled the promise that he showed, you know, in high school. He's a rare arm. So we'll see. Overall, I like the lineup. And if they all play well, then, you know, they'll be competitive.
Okay.
I picked the Lions third. And you'll hear it, you know, over and over again. But basically, the way I see the Pacific League is there's two teams at the top. I won't spell them out, other than the Hawks. And there's three, four, five, six. I don't see a whole lot of difference. Three, four, five, especially, is going to be kind of mud wrestling. You know, whoever comes out the least dirty from that is going to do it. Now, I'm picking the Lions not because I'm a fan of the Lions. I am a fan of their offense. And, you know, I look at Mejia and Okawari-kun, and that's great. And I think Asamura is going to return to probably not the RBI leading year he had two seasons ago at first base, but he's coming off a year in which he was basically thrown back at second base and just worry about your defense.
Right.
And he struggled a little bit, but he's overcoming. I think what's going to happen with the Lions is Asamura, who is originally a shortstop and middle infielder, is going to begin playing more like one, like he was in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit in the second half, and I think he's going to be a really good part of that offense. Now, they don't have offense at short, okay, but they got offense everywhere else. And the kid, this 19-year-old Tomi Omori, is, I think, could be better than Nakamura. He looks a lot like Nakamura.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty chubby.
On the left side, except he's a lot shorter.
but he's got it all. And he didn't have trouble making too many adjustments. I think he hit .261 with six home runs and very limited playing time last year. Every day this guy spends in the Eastern League is a waste of his career. Yeah. This guy can mash. Regardless of what you do, I'd get him into a game.
Okay.
So I think that offense is going to really cause trouble for the rest of the Pacific League. The pitching, well, I don't see big improvements there.
Okay.
But I think it can be better.
And I think the Lions figure to go hungry, trying to hunt big game. And what I mean by that is they have a lot of home run hitters. They have a lot of pop, and they're probably going to look to score a lot of runs all the time. And
they do draw a lot.
And they're going to score runs. But they did lead the PL in strikeouts last year with more than 1,200. And Okawari-kun, Takeya Nakamura gets injured a lot, and I expect more of that. And the pitching, the bullpen, I don't see, like you said, I don't see any improvement there. They got a bunch. They've got a couple of DHs, maybe even three. And if they want to put more in at catcher, then they're going to suffer defensively. So I just don't know if that's enough in a league that's really going to be competitive. That they have too many more question marks than they have answers, and I have them finishing fourth.
Yeah, I don't see Moria as a catcher at all. I mean, they've got Ginjiro Sumitani's okay behind the plate. He's a hole offensively. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think they can do it. I think given the competition to finish third, I think they can do it.
Okay. All right, the Marines, Patrick.
2015 Chivalocte Marines. So in the rotation, they've already announced Hideaki Wakui as the opening day starter.
Yeah. Yes, they have.
Here we go again.
Telling jokes. The opening day is you got to have a strong opening, right? A good opening.
Yeah, he'll throw 170 pitches on opening day.
Half from there, in the bullpen.
And then from there, Ayumu Ishikawa. And then again, you have another set of question marks. Yuki Karakawa, Takahiro Fujioka, Ri Dae-un, the recent Korean pickup from the Cubs organization,
right.
Yuta Kimura, And I think that mostly covers it. So again, you know, a lot of question marks. The big subtraction, obviously, is Yoshihisa Naruse, the lefty who anchored their staff for many years.
Right.
Additions, not a lot of notable additions. Ree from the Cubs organization, and then you have Nakamura, the infielder from Waseda, who was their first draft pick, and the second round pick was Eisuke Tanaka from Kyoto University, who's going to open the season at the Nigun farm team. Yeah. But we could see him on the mound in Chiba at some point during the season.
Yep.
So I have Lotte finishing last. So for the strengths, I think the biggest thing that Lotte has going for them is Alfredo Despaigne, the Cuban slugger. They'll have him for most of the season after the Cuban Serie Nacional finishes. Mm-hmm. So he'll join immediately upon the conclusion of that season and not like late in the year like he did last year.
Right.
You know, they have some good players. They have guys who can get on base. They don't have a lot of power. They don't have a lot of developed power outside of Despaigne. You know, we may see some breakout from Ajay Nue, you know, they have got this catching prospect Tamura. You know, maybe he'll improve with Satozaki retiring. Mm-hmm. That's one I missed. Satozaki retired, the catcher.
Yeah, well, I know what you're saying. He wasn't a big contributor, I would say, but yeah.
Yeah, he was done. He was done. And the weakness is I just don't see a lot of rotation depth. You know, I don't know who eats up all those innings. You know, they don't even have a lot of rotation shallowness if Wakui is the opening day ace. So, So you know, there's going to be some long games with unless we see a big improvement from someone like Fujioka, or unless Ree turns out to be a really great addition.
Yeah.
So you know, they don't have a lot of star power aside from Despaigne. You know, they have some guys who can get on base, but they don't have a lot of guys to drive them in once they're on base, and the pitching is probably the weakest staff in the league. So I have them finishing last.
Okay. All right, so for the Marines, I have them finishing last, and this is a team that has a bunch of guys who get on base like crazy. Mm-hmm. They walk a lot, they hit a lot of doubles, and they hit a lot of triples. They led in both of those categories. They led the PL. When Despaigne comes in, I think he's going to really help with the power portion, and most of the time they need 2+ hits to get a run, maybe a walk, maybe a stolen base here and there will get them a run, but I just don't know that they have enough. I'm looking at that rotation, if you want to call it that, and I don't see enough there. They just aren't impressive, and they have a guy, Katsuya Kakunaka, who's a DH disguised as a fielder, and they have a lot of fight, but I'm just not sure they have enough weapons, so I got them finishing last.
Mm. So, okay, so demilitarized Marines. Okay.
Chiba Marine Field, the demilitarized zone.
I like a lot of players. You know, it's hard to be at this level and not have some good players on the team. What I see from the Marines is a lack of championship caliber players. You see all the guys who can be, you know, how many guys on the Marines do you think, if this is the best guy on your team, could this team win a pennant?
Mm.
And the answer is, I'm going to say Daichi Suzuki is about as close as you're going to get right now. Mm. And he isn't a complete player. He's a shortstop. He's a shortstop who's actually a second baseman. And you know, when you have a situation where your best player is playing out of position so that a person who's better able to fill his position can play somewhere else. To me, that's a fundamental problem.
Mm.
And to have Luis Cruz play second base when Suzuki is not a really good shortstop. Well, of course, the New York Yankees did that for years, you know, when they had Alex Rodriguez playing third base and Derek Jeter at short, when, you know, they weren't going to move Derek Jeter.
Right.
And that worked to some degree, but their best shortstop was playing third base. Well, in this case, the Marines' best shortstop is playing second base.
Yeah.
So I don't see that. I see a lot of great. I saw a lot of very good players. I like Chad Huffman. You know, 20 doubles and 50 hits. I like a lot of their pitchers. I like the catching is, you know, is still. What are they going to do with the catching? Well, Ito is going to figure it out. Maybe in 2 years, he'll figure it out when he's an analyst.
Yeah. Oh, I should have done this.
But my favorite Marines player is Takuya Takuhama, who's on the farm team, who's a outstanding hitter and a shortstop. And they've got a rookie. I think their top draft pick is a shortstop, or their second. Their top draft pick is a shortstop. So they've got this logjam of talent behind their best player, and a bunch of other guys who are great supporting actors. There's no Academy Award for Best Actor on this team.
Okay.
Well, for me, I disagree with what I'm hearing. Most of you guys are just seeing the Marines in last place, but I think they can do better this year. Their rotation is not bad. I mean, I think they have a better rotation than Cebu. That's what I'm picking them to finish third and make the playoffs this year. I think Luis Cruz, Mexican, he was he was good last year. He led the team in RBIs, but his average was really low, 238 or something like that.
Well, he did get hurt, but I loved the Cruiser. He was great for him last year.
No, he has good defense, and he's hitting well in spring training and in spring and the preseason now. I think he's in good shape. And the other good thing is they're going to have Cuban Alfredo Despaine most of the year. He's not going to be able to be there for opening day, but probably around mid-April or so,
right?
He should be arriving to Japan. So, as opposed to the 2 months that they had in had him last year, is going to be most of the season this time. So I think that's going to help.
Yeah, and hopefully they have more of his bat and less of him.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for
the weight
sure.
size, yeah.
Definitely. So yeah, I mean, I think they have a shot to make it to the postseason this year. So I'm picking them for third place.
Okay. And you're not concerned about their pitching staff? You think they can just patch it through? Because I'm looking at their rotation and I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing third place, at least with that rotation.
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan at all of Wakui, but I think the other guys, you know, they have been able to pitch well before. I think they can, if they get it together, they can, produce some decent results. I mean, I don't think Ishikawa is a bad pitcher. I don't think Fujioka is a bad pitcher. Who's the other? Karakawa. You know, they're like average pitchers, but they have given some good results in the past. So if they can keep it together, and they're doing fine. Like they're in they were leading the
preseason standings.
The preseason standings. So they're playing well now. They're in sync, and that's important. So I think they can do well this year.
Yeah, I just don't give the preseason that much. No matter, you know, we talked about my Dragons last week, and everyone was so nice. They all said, "Well, we don't want to pick the Dragons last because of you, John." I'm like, "Hey, I'm picking them to finish 12th, but don't worry about it." I mean, you know, I'm honest. I really I didn't see last place teams before with them, but with this team here with the Marines, I'm certainly not seeing the playoffs. I don't know that I actually believe that they're going to finish 6th, but I need to see a little bit more. And until I do, I'm not going to pick them to finish any higher. Okay. Next up is the Buffaloes. Claudio?
Okay, so for the Buffaloes, I have for the rotation Chihiro Kaneko, the ace. Although I think he's hurt, though. He's not going to be able to make the opening day or something. But he should, you know, for the season, he should be there. Yuki Nishi, Masa Yoshida, Takahiro Matsuo, which I'm not crazy about. Brandon Dixon and Alessandro Maestri, although as Jim said, I believe Alessandro should probably work more as a reliever than as a starter, but he's going to be there.
Now for Yoshida, I call him Masa. I think some other people do, but his name is Kazumasa.
Oh, Kazumasa, okay.
Yoshida. Officially.
For the additions, I have Hiroyuki Nakajima, who was came back to Japan after 2 wasted years in the U.S. doing nothing. That's he should have come back before or something. I don't really know what happened. I had some hope for him to do something decent in the majors, but it just didn't happen. They got Brian Bullington from the Carp, which is, I think, a great addition. Bullington, by the way, should be on the rotation. I forgot to miss that. I see him in as one of those arms there. He should be a guy capable of putting some innings. Tony Blanco came from the DNA Bay Stars. He should be he should help the team as well. Probably get better results than Peña did last year. Mm-hmm. And Eiichi Koyano from the Nippon Ham Fighters, which is a veteran. I'm not sure how much he can help the team, but he should be able to do something to help. So for the key losses, I have Willy Mopeña, who was basically let go. I don't think the team liked him for whatever reason, starting at the beginning. Oryx at the beginning of September or something. Yeah. And then, decided just to let him go at the end.
That was the biggest one.
That was the key one, yeah. Okay, for the strength, I think they have a solid team. They have a good rotation. There's depth in there. They have a good lineup as well. I mean, Nakajima, Koyano, Bullington, and Blanco. They should be, they should produce decent numbers. Same as Germán, who's there for a second year. Joshua Itoi, Adachi. They have a really, really good team. They have talent in there. And I think they can do. They can have another good season, same as they did last year. Although last year, I think there was a little. Maybe not luck, but I think it's also a matter of a 1 year thing. I don't think they're gonna repeat at it. Have such a great start as they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're gonna go down a little bit, but they still have a good team as to take the second place, which is my prediction for them at the end of the year. I think they can get the second place again and go to the postseason and hopefully try to to fight for a spot in the Japan series.
Okay, Jim?
I like Oryx as a comfortable second. I think they're the only team with a viable chance to beat SoftBank. They played well over their heads last year. So many things had to, and I'm not talking about Willy Mopeña having a great season.
Right, a great half a season.
Great half a season, which is what he does. But, I mean, just a lot of things going well. Everything pretty much that could go well for Oryx did go well. Mm. They played way over their heads, and then all of a sudden they're in a pennant race that the Hawks did their best to try to lose and failed to lose.
Mm.
They couldn't even fail to lose the pennant.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. I don't see that happening. However, that being said, they introduced a lot of players. They brought in Hiroyuki Nakajima back from the States, which is a plus. I think he's a hitter. He doesn't have a position. They brought in Eiichi Koyano from the Fighters as a free agent, and he doesn't really have a position. He didn't have a position last year. He doesn't have a position this year. Esteban Germán's a quality player. As Claudio pointed out, he can play anywhere, which I'd forgotten because he's been at third base for several years now. So I think how Moriwaki positions his pieces is going to be a real test for his. And, he's not a hardline guy. He's a let's work together and find a best solution. If he can find a good solution, then they can win. But it's not going to be easy. They got Brandt, they've got some big pluses there. Tony Blanco, I think, is a huge step up.
If he's healthy,
which he hasn't been for most of his time in Japan, then he's an MVP caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's the potential A-plus player that the Marines need. Mm-hmm. He's playing for Oryx. He's got a couple of those guys. So Oryx has got a couple of guys, if you said they're the best player on this team, could it win the championship? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think second. I think they've still got too big a gap to close with SoftBank, and they don't have the depth.
Yeah, I do like their depth. I like the fact that they added Nakaji, although he doesn't have a position. Looks like he's going to play a lot of first base, but he can play third. The manager Moriwaki already said he wants him to play all around the infield. I don't think you were going to see him at short though, and I don't see him having much time at second. But I like the addition of Bullington. At least he puts in a lot of innings. He suffered an injury last year at the end of the year, and he wasn't around. So I hope that doesn't repeat, or that situation doesn't repeat. You know, the outfield, I don't know. It's off and on. You pointed out Coiano doesn't really have a position, but I think it's okay because they like to make some moves. They like to look for favorable matchups. And last year when they tried to do that, they didn't have really good replacement guys to come on the field and do it, or the pinch hitters they set up weren't quality guys. And now they do have quality guys who can come up and pinch hit. Herman late in the game, Coiano late in the game, Nakaji late in the game. It's a lot different than sending up a guy who just came up from the farm team. So I like what they have. I like the additions. They still have to prove it to me, and that's why I have them finishing third. Last is Patrick on the Buffaloes.
Okay, so I think like most of the rest of us, I have Oryx finishing second. I guess we can start with the lineup. I love the addition of Tony Blanco. We'll see about how Nakamura reacquaints himself to MPB action, see how he fits in with that team.
Right.
one thing to look out for is last year you had a number of breakout career performances from guys who hadn't performed in the past that way. So Shunta took a big step forward in center field. You had the shortstop Adachi, who really took a big step forward. T. Okada, the slugger, came back from years in oblivion. and on down the list. So I mean, even Willie Mopeña, I wasn't expecting him to perform anywhere near as well as he did. It's possible that some of those guys can take a step back. Although I think Okada is the biggest risk for that. I think that Shunta and Adachi may not hit quite as well, and Adachi might not steal as many bases, but I think those guys are legit performers. So it's just a matter of finding the right mix and having them all play positions, because you'll have a rotation of Okada and Blanco and Nakajima between DH, first base, and left field, probably. The rotation is also pretty good. I don't think Kaneko is going to have the kind of year that he had last year, but and he's not going to even make the opening day roster with his injury rehabilitation. But Nishi is a good pitcher. Dixon was a good contributor for them last year, good solid mid rotation, late rotation guy. And then Bullington, I like the addition of Bullington, and Yoshida, I think, really progressed as the season went on. So, pretty solid all around. I think they can challenge SoftBank if they play well.
All right. So the Fighters, Patrick.
Okay. So the rotation, you got Shohei Ohtani, the Nito Ryu two-way player. Naoyuki Uesawa, Luis Mendoza, Masaru Takeda, Hiroshi Urano, and maybe even some contributions from Hiroshi Kisanuki, and maybe even maybe even an inning or two from the handkerchief prince.
The crying prince. That's why he's got a handkerchief.
Yeah. At this point, yeah. He'll go pitch for the Red Sox. And key additions. So the big addition is the return of Kensuke Tanaka back from his tenure in the minor leagues, basically. Victor Garate, the relief pitcher, first round draft pick, Kohei Arihara out of Waseda, and then sluggers Jeremy Hermida and Brandon Laird. The key losses. Key. I don't know how key any of these are. and reliever Anthony Carter, Eiichi Koyano. He was pretty good a few years ago. The retirement of longtime shortstop Makoto Kaneko, Juan Miranda, and Michelle Abreu. So I have Nippon Ham finishing fourth. Really third through sixth could kind of comes down to just who plays the best. I think they have the same question marks as everybody else. You have a couple of strong pitchers in the front of the rotation, and then it comes down to just filling those starts with the other guys.
Right.
Mendoza ate up a lot of quality innings over the course of last year. So if he can throw another 170, 180 innings, that might give them a really big advantage over some of the other teams. Ohtani, obviously a phenomenal talent, probably the best I've ever seen. That said, he had a year that that outperformed even my expectations of him last year. So it'll be interesting to see if he can repeat that or improve on it.
Right, and he just said what he's going to say. I read an article that has not yet been released, and that in which he said he wants to be twice as good, maybe even three times as good as he was last year, especially offensively.
What does that mean?
I think, first of all, it means give me some more at-bats, Skip. Get me in the game, first of all, in terms of the hitter. I don't think he can start anymore, but that's basically, I think he wants to swing a little bit more. Okay, Claudio?
Well, for me, I see the Fighters out of pure panic as last place this year. They have basically the same team they had last year. There's no two drastic changes, but
pure panic as opposed to
no. I mean, like some other there's other predictions that think that the Fighters are going to do better this year. I mean, they reached the postseason last year, and they even beat the Buffaloes in the first stage of the postseason. I don't see them in sync. I don't. They're last place in the standings in preseason. They're playing horribly.
You love this preseason thing, don't you?
Yeah, it's not that I love, but it gives you an idea of where they stand. And
Okay.
The Bay Stars ended last lots of time in preseason, and that's how they finished in the regular season. Granted, those were the Bay Stars that, you couldn't count on them, but, it's an indication of where the team is at this time. And, Ohtani has done horribly in what's his ERA, 10-18 or something right now? It's horrible. So I've seen pictures of Kuriyama with his hands on his face, like, what's going on? What's happening here? Like, it's close to being desperate. So
you speak of pure panic. I think Kuriyama and pure panic go together. But
that's what I think they're going to finish this year.
Okay, Jim, Fighters.
I have them fifth. I like some of the Fighters' improvements, but Tanaka gives them depth in the same way that Hiroyuki Nakajima gives Oryx depth. But he pushes guys farther down into the depth chart than they were playing last year. The problem with the Fighters is, again, well, Tanaka gives them an A player or an A-minus player, but he pushes other people who are growing. He pushes Takuya Nakashima, who was brilliant at second base last year, pushes him to shortstop. I don't know if he can handle that. They're squeezing people in, squeezing people around. Looks like the DH time is going to be split between Shohei Ohtani and Jeremy Hermida.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Laird is going to spend most of the time at third base, and Nakata's going to be at first, or Hermida's going to be at first, and Oka's going to be in right, or Nishikawa is going to be. And the fact that the only thing that really troubles me there is Nishikawa is a quality hitter, and they can't figure out what to do with them. But again, this is the same problem the Hawks have. They're in the same boat with the Hawks and the Marines, in the sense that they have a lot of young, talented hitters who may be Bs, they may even be A's, but we're not going to know because they keep shuffling them and moving around and can't make up their minds. They've only got so much playing time to give out.
Okay.
So I think that's a problem for them. I don't see it. Their starting pitching is probably the biggest worry to me. I didn't see it last year. They surprised me. I don't know if they're going to surprise me 2 years in a row.
Okay. Yeah, fifth. I was surprised too, and that's where I was going to go. I think the surprising thing was that they didn't play great defense, but they played pretty well behind their pitchers. But their pitchers,
the defense was good. It was good.
Even Luis Mendoza, he lost a bunch of games, but he pitched well, and he pitched late into ball games, and they just didn't score for him on a few occasions, or maybe they were down a run, and they never were able to come back and win. So, but I like what he did. The additions, you know, Kensuke Tanaka has been one of my favorite players for a long time. I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he gets a job and he's going to be able to show what he can do. And I think he's going to contribute a lot. And I think a guy like that who can hit when you need him to hit, bunt when you need him to bunt, move a runner over when you need that, I think that's really valuable. You know, I don't know what the foreign guys are going to do. The rotation does look iffy, especially on the back end, and I don't know what the bullpen's going to look like, but I didn't expect anything from them, and they played really tough. They won a playoff series as well. So I think they can finish. I got them finishing second. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish third or first. I think it can go either way on these guys. It's kind of hard to pick. And looking at all our picks here, it looks like nobody, we all picked them to finish in different slots. So we really don't have a good line on this team or a good gauge on the team. So it'll be fun to watch, I think. All right, and the Eagles, the Rakuten Eagles, their probable rotation, Takahiro Norimoto, Manabu Mima, Yuki Matsui should be in the rotation, but he's not for some reason. Takahiro Irino, who's from he's from what, the not the Industrial League, but he signed. Independent League.
Right, he can't. I think did college and then independent ball for a couple of years.
Yeah, Wataru Karashima. You know, it gets kind of fuzzy after that, and who knows who's going to be the key additions.
I think it's fuzzy after.
It's fuzzy after before that, huh? It's fuzzy all over the place.
I think it gets fuzzy before that.
It's just not warm, but it's fuzzy.
No.
Key additions in particularly in size, Willy Mo Pena. And then Gabby Sanchez, a pickup I really like. Zealous Wheeler, who's looked good in the spring so far. He's hit pitches all over the place. They're still searching for a hole in his swing that they haven't found yet. Tomohiro Anaku, the rookie pitcher, threw like a bazillion pitches on one weekend in Koshien, and he's famous for that.
Yeah, I'll be happy for wearing it.
And I believe he'll be around at some point, maybe to be in the rotation, maybe in the second half of the season. Key losses, Andrew Jones, obviously. And I'm going to count Cam Michelio as a loss because he has been out injured.
Count Cam!
He's out injured, going to miss 2 or 3 months or so.
Yeah,
so.
You can't count him as a minus.
Counting him as a minus. I'm counting him as a loss. You're not going to be there for almost 3 months. That's kind of a loss. I mean, if he gets there in the middle of the season, I'm sure he'll have enough to contribute. But they'll certainly miss him, especially if the bright lights prove to be too bright for Mr. Matsui, who's done all right in the preseason, but he had a good preseason last year. So their strengths, I think the import group they brought in, it has a lot of power. And that should really help because they only hit 78 home runs last year. That was the fewest in the Pacific League. You know, obviously they had trouble with they missed on Kevin Youkilis, who came in with an injury history and some issues. And
good guy, and he got hurt like after 2 weeks.
Yeah, they missed on it, and you know it happens.
Everything they touch turned to rust.
And this is another team with a new manager, Dave Okubo, who is being really aggressive with his runners on the bases in the preseason. I think he's going to bring a really exciting brand of baseball to watch, but I'm not really sure he has the horses to do all that running. So I think he's gonna hurt him sometimes. He's going to help him sometimes. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see what he does as a new manager as well. But I don't have the Eagles finishing in the playoffs. I have them finishing fifth. Patrick.
Yeah, so I have Rakuten finishing fifth. I have them beating out Lotte and avoiding last place. So I guess I'll start with the rotation. Even when they won the Nippon Series 2 years ago, it was kind of Tanaka and Norimoto and pray for rain. You know, the guys that were, I'm sorry?
Yeah, although some guys like Mima did step up at certain times, especially in the Japan series, but yeah.
Yeah, you had a few good games. The guys that contributed a few years earlier, like Shiomi and Nagai, are just, you know, non-entities at this point. So, you know, there's a bunch of question marks, a bunch of kind of smaller guys, particularly Mima and Karashima are both, you know, physically small guys. So, you know, then they have Anraku, who it seems like he's hurt already, and he's had health problems in high school, but he's another guy who's, you know, seems like he's physically gifted, but you know, it'll remain to be seen whether they can keep him healthy.
Yeah, he hurt an ankle this time, so I forgive him.
Yeah, I mean, but he had problems with, like, you know, having fevers and stuff like that, and, you know, in high school he had all sorts of stuff wrong with him. I think he was just overworked.
Yeah, I'd have a fever too if they made me throw a million pitches on a weekend.
Yeah, well, and he was playing first base for them too when he wasn't pitching. So
right, yeah.
So he was really running to the ground. So you know, some good training and conditioning and professional coaching and rest, you know, and who knows where it'll go. You know, on the lineup, as far as the lineup goes, you know, they've always had a kind of a core of guys that get on base but don't have any power. So you have Shima and Okajima and Ginji and Fujita and even Kazuo Matsui. You know, all these guys will get on base and draw walks and swipe a few bases, but they don't have any power. So they've had this strategy or this approach of getting their power from foreign players, and it worked great 2 years ago when they had Jones and McGee, and it didn't work at all last year when they had Kevin Youkilis. Mm. So this year they'll have Zelis Wheeler, and they'll have Willy Malpena and Gabby Sanchez. So if even one of those guys really breaks through and has a good year, you know, that'll help a lot. You know, and if Gabby Sanchez hits 35 home runs, you know, that'll make a huge difference to them. The lineup will probably score a lot of runs because they have, you know, guys on base.
Right.
But, you know, it's always a kind of a risky proposition to bring a guy over from the U.S. and see how he translates. It's kind of hit or miss. So, right. So we'll see how they do.
Okay. Claudio?
Yeah, I do agree with pretty much everything you said. I think their offensive is going to be better this year, you know, with the addition of Peña. I like Wheeler as well. I think he has been doing well. And I think Gabby Sanchez will probably be an everyday player as well. So I think they, with those three guys in the lineup, they can add some runs and they can improve their home runs too. But the pitching being, you know, not the best. I like Norimoto as a great pitcher, but the rest of them, you know, and even Anraku got injured. He's not going to be able to play for 2 or 3 weeks or something.
Right.
So,
right.
So you know, right. I don't see the rotation being, or I don't see their pitching being any strength for them. So I picked them to finish fifth place as well.
Okay.
I have the Eagles fourth. But again, it's not really as much about the Eagles as much as I think where the organization is right now. I like their acquisitions. Dave Okubo is, to me, the wildest card of all the managers. If he comes out and he's a new, you know, if he's reformed and mature and objective, but, you know, objective isn't really part of his outlook.
Mm.
In the past, it's been his lack of objectivity has been his Achilles heel when he was a coach with the Lions. I guess that and his judgment, his compulsiveness to be rash and so on. He tends to be rash. I think that's part of the aggressive streak you see, and I think that's been a problem with him. He's a likable upfront guy, but I don't trust his judgment. I don't know, and even if he's composed and mature, I don't see it. I don't see him as a long-term solution. I usually like minor league managers. Okubo, you know, he's got a past, and he has to sort of overcome that with me. And you know, and I'm not saying in a bad way, but I hope to see more good things out of him. I don't see it yet, but I hope to because I like him.
Okay.
But Rock 10, Zelis Wheeler, I love. No, and I like Zelis Wheeler because this is a guy who. I don't know if you can admire a guy who spent, you know, half his life in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy who really has never had a chance to make the adjustments. You know, everybody's always said, well, look at his age, look at his swing, look at his size, look at his, you know, whatever. We can't even pronounce his first name. So let's give somebody else a chance. And here he's going to be with the Eagles, and he's going to get the chance of his lifetime. And you think this guy isn't going to make all of it? He seems like an upbeat, positive guy. I think this guy is going to really turn his baseball career around with the Eagles. And I think I'm looking forward to Gabby Sanchez. I'm not convinced yet about him, Anraku, so on. But anyway, I like the Eagles. I expect them to improve. I think too many things went wrong for them that didn't deserve to go wrong for them last year. I think they're a better team than they looked a little. But anyway.
Okay. All right. Dave Houston, your colleague at Kyoto News, he has the Buffaloes finishing first. He's got the Hawks, the Fighters, the Eagles fourth, the Lions, and then the Marines last. So there's another vote for the Marines finishing in the cellar. Wayne Grostick, longtime columnist with the Japan Times, he's got the Buffaloes, the Hawks, the Lions third.
Yay!
The Fighters, the Eagles, and the Marines have another last place vote.
Wayne and I are the same except for the Hawks and the Buffaloes. That's interesting.
Jason Koskry of the Japan Times, and he's got the Buffaloes finishing first. Wow. He's got the Hawks in second and the Lions in third.
Wow.
He's got the Fighters fourth and the Marines and the Eagles finishing last. So he's got kind of flip-flop there, but those bottom two teams, there seems to be a theme on these guys.
The Marines and the Eagles seem to be the favorites to do last.
Okay, and then Michael Westbay did an algorithm, and it spat out the following. Fighters first, Buffaloes second, Marines third, so Lions fourth, then he's got the Hawks finishing fifth, and the Eagles finishing last.
Mm.
So blame it on the algorithm.
I always do. Every time I make a mistake, I blame it on the math. Of course, I'm the one who thought up the math, so... But no, blame me. If I open my mouth, I'm responsible. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, Patrick and Claudio. Yeah. Thank you so much for, sticking around to do a second taping. And I apologize for the technical difficulties. And we'll have you on another time.
You should.
And Glenn, thank you for the question. And we will talk to you next week after the first weekend of baseball in Japan. It'll be fun.
Real baseball, not fake. Fake exhibition, preseason, not spring training baseball.
And thank you to you too, Jim, for coming back and spending some extra time taping with us. Appreciate it, buddy.
You couldn't keep me away, man. This is fun.
Good to
hear. Second time, third time. Let's not do the third time.
Let's not go crazy.
No, this is fun. I enjoy it. Every time I enjoy it.
All right. You can tweet us at JBWPodcast, and you can send an email to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we will talk to you later. Enjoy your opening weekend. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.